Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, where every week, Jeff Glover and his coaches will dive deep into questions that you are asking. They understand the challenges you're facing on a day-to-day basis and still work every day on the front lines of real estate, with Jeff and his team closing over 1,000 homes per year. In today's episode, Jeff and top buyer agent Jolynn Rasika dive into strategies that you can use to get more buyer offers accepted when there's high competition for listings. Jolynn also shares ways to build a solid relationship with buyers and keep them engaged throughout the entire process of finding and buying a home. Now, let's hear from Jeff Glover and Jolynn Rasika.
On this gorgeous day after Thanksgiving, also known as Black Friday, we've got the one and only Jolynn Rasika here, top buyer's agent at Jeff Glover & Associates, longstanding 10 years plus now, right? Or just about 10 years, with a large specialty in working with buyers and getting buyers' offers accepted. So first things first, speaking of Black Friday, we really hope that you had a great time with family and friends to whatever extent you could have with them, whether that be virtual or in person. I know every state has different rules. And Jolynn, we've got people on from all over the country. So we're super excited to dig into today's content. And before we do, I do want to mention, and we included it in your email with the link as well, we are selling all of our Live Unreal gear at cost today. So you'll see in there, if you go to gloveru.com/shop, that's where you can get that. Why are we selling it at cost? Well, the truth is we're not really selling merchandise to make a profit to begin with. We're selling merchandise to get the mission of Live Unreal out there, a life so amazing, it's almost unbelievable. So we hope you'll take advantage of today's Black Friday specials, especially if you are in belief of living a life so amazing, it's almost unbelievable. The mission of Glover U and Live Unreal. So let's go ahead and jump in, Jolynn. Why don't, I'll start us off. You know, we've got actually, believe it or not, a lot of first timers on. So we're excited. You know, for years and years, we've been known as the listing focused company, right? We've trained agents on how to take a lot of listings. We take a lot of listing inventory in our market in Michigan, and we're kind of known as the organization to teach people how to become great listing agents. And so we said, okay, we're missing something here because we've got a very talented person, someone that's been with us for, you know, like I said, near a decade or just over a decade, and has consistently not only sold, you know, between 35, 40, 45 buyer sales a year, but also doing it while working maybe 30 or 40 hours a week. I mean, I think that's one people... For people who don't know you, Jolynn, one thing people will learn and appreciate is that, yeah, you sell 40, 50 homes a year, but you also live a great life. I mean, you also spend just as much time living your life, living your unreal life, as you do working. So I want to get into a little bit about you in a second before we jump into today's information. But for those that are on for the first time, my name's Jeff Glover. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Been in the business for 18 years. The last 10 years, I've averaged selling personally over 100 homes per year. Our team in Detroit does consistently between 900 and 1,000. And I'm not only on the ground with you, but Glover U is the number one training and coaching company in terms of having your head coach on the ground in production with you. So when you're thinking about who you should be listening to and who you should be taking advice from, I would encourage you to consider following someone that's on the ground with you. And we're doing it at a high level, and so is Jolynn. Also, before I forget, I could not forget this because it's Black Friday. Also, our 2021 planners are out, the ever popular daily business plan and daily, you know, planner and so forth, built by our agents for our agents. Those are also on sale in the Glover U shop. That's gloveru.com/shop. All right, Jolynn, tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, so hi, I'm Jolynn Rasika. I have been in the real estate business since really about 2007. Started out assisting and then decided that I wanted way more out of this and went into sales full time. So I was actually in college. Let's see, it was 2004 when I left, and the economy was fantastic. Life was good. went for my business administration degree at the University of Michigan, only to find that when I graduated, the economy had completely collapsed. So my options at that point were probably to go and manage something retail or a restaurant, something that I really didn't have interest in doing, and learned a lot about not wanting to really be in a corporate world as well throughout my college career. So I was working at Chase Bank. I was a teller part-time, a student full-time, and a real estate assistant part-time. And Jeff was actually a client at the bank that I worked at. So we happened to run into each other pretty frequently. And one day just mentioned that I had gotten into real estate. And he said, well, hey, you know that that's what I do. And I said, you know, yeah, I do. I cash your checks. So, and I like them. I like what they look like. I like
where are you getting all these checks from? This young hotshot showing up in a convertible.
There you go. That Aston Martin. Absolutely. Yeah. So we started the conversations there. Jeff had started the team in 2009, earlier in the year. And I went over there in October of 2009 and joined. And here we are.
Yes. And here we are. So today, JoLynn, thank you for that. And one thing that for those of you that maybe hopped on a little bit late, one thing I love about JoLynn and really one of the things that really embodies the whole Live Unreal concept is that JoLynn definitely works hard. She's definitely consistent. She's in early. She has a consistent routine. She's got a consistent schedule, but she also spends just as much time, you know, taking time off, traveling up north to her cottage, you know, investing in real estate pretty much every other weekend. When we had them, you were at somebody's wedding or in somebody's wedding and still able to maintain anywhere from, I think, you know, a bad year for you is like 36 to 40 transactions. And usually you're between 40 and 50, with the majority of those being buyer transactions. So can you share just a little bit about why you think, like, when you look around and see real estate agents in the industry, and obviously you work with a lot of agents as a coach here at Glover U, can you share why you think you're able to do that? And others seem to be just kind of running ragged when they're doing that volume and that many units?
Sure. So, you know, what I found to be most important from the beginning of my career, and I mean, in all reality, I started in real estate when I was 21 years old, you know, so I didn't have a lot of, you know, people that I knew that already owned homes that were looking to sell. And, you know, our leads that were coming in and whatnot were not people that necessarily had listings. Yeah. So I put my head down and really went into buyers full force, because to me, it's fun. You know, you're helping these people that you love in life, you know, with your sphere, and then also random people that you meet that you're helping to accomplish a dream that you didn't even know that they had necessarily. Yep. And it is fun, and you're able to bestow knowledge on these people and teach them things that you didn't really, you know, no one else could really teach them. Yep. So I feel that, you know, just a lot of transparency and a lot of, you know, the truth with the clients is really what makes everything work. Yeah. As soon as they feel that you have wronged them or you weren't clear about something, we lose them.
Yeah. So you'll get that one deal from them, but you'll probably never get another referral from them.
Absolutely. And my biggest focus when I started was finding these young first-time buyers, because that allowed me to learn so much. It allowed me to be in so many inspections, learn so much about the homes, be able to better point my clients in a better direction after that, which has kept them with me for a very long time now. So,
and you've been able to maintain that many units. You know, most agents, when they get to 36, 40, 45, 50 units, you know, they need to hire some level of help. And obviously, working at JGA, we have a lot of that support for our agents. But you've relied pretty heavily on the showing agent model, and also on, you know, our operations team when you're out, when you need things done. So can you tell us just a little bit about what that looks like in your mind and how that's helped you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we know that we've got just some difficult clients, right? And I can't spend all of my time running around showing homes all day. So we're fortunate enough to have the showing agent model along with our support team and our admin team that's able to write contracts for me if I can't get, you know, to a computer because I'm on the road. Sure. I've got my showing agents that know, you know, they're going and they're knowledgeable and they're taking my clients through these homes. And the goal is to find what they're looking for. So I feel incredibly confident in using them. My clients feel confident in using them as well.
Yeah.
It's really only when we set the baseline properly, right? We've got to have that conversation about this is my showing partner. I don't even like to use the word showing assistant. It takes them off of that level with you.
That's right.
So setting up and teeing that all up, you know, really in a buyer consultation, the best and really only way in my mind to handle that without having problem after the fact.
Yeah.
That's exactly how we do that.
What would you say to the agent? Because, you know, some agents have heard us talk about the showing agent model for a long time. And as you know, we first implemented the showing agent model, I think it was 2012, Kelly McHenry, who's still with us today. She was our top showing agent. What would you say to an agent that says, you know what? They're not able to do it as good of me but I have to pay them a portion of my commission. What do you say to those two? Cause by the way, those are the two objections we get to that. Well, I'm going to have to give some of my commission to someone and I don't like that. Or, well, I'm going to have to hand it off to someone who maybe is on the same level, but they're not going to do it as good as me. Right. How would you respond to the agent? Cause those are the two concerns that people have about that model.
Sure. And I had those concerns. I mean, when it started, you know, I am heavily known for working my sphere, but that wasn't the case in the beginning of my career. 21 years old, I have a sphere, but they're not all running around buying houses. So when it came down to the thought, you really have to compartmentalize that thought. Okay, so I'm losing a portion of my commission, but what am I doing with that time that I gained back?
Yeah.
Am I doing two more deals? Am I meeting with another seller? Am I getting a listing contract signed?
Yep.
Am I able to do more business based on having that ability?
That time.
Of course. Yeah. The answer is yes.
Yeah. Or are you getting more able to do more free time stuff, right?
Well, yes. Well, and let's be honest, in the beginning of my career, when I was having the problem of giving up the commission, it's because I was working my butt off and didn't have, you know, a lot of deals coming in the door. So it was a scarcity mindset of how am I going to make the most money without having to give it away?
Yep.
Then you realize in turn that you are able by leveraging to do more business, which makes your bottom line better all around.
Right. Yeah. The bottom line increases and you actually end up getting more time back. It's just that initial blow that sometimes bothers people. And I remember even in working with you, and trust me, I know you everyone signed on for the getting offers accepted and it's coming. We're getting to it. All right. We're warming you up for it. But no, I remember early on a conversation I had with you, which was, all right, why don't we just try this? Why don't we just try, you know, kind of the cold leads, right? Like the Zillows or the Realtor.coms or the signed calls. Why don't we just have an understanding that all of them, after you convert them, of course, are going to go to a showing agent, and then you still work your sphere and your past clients. And you did that, right? And I think what you learned, and correct me if I'm wrong, you learned that, wow, I really can trust the showing agent process or the showing agent model with my sphere. Where in the beginning, you really kept those separate.
Yep, absolutely. And it really came down to minimum standards as well. I had to put those standards in place for me to say, okay, I will work with everyone that meets A, B, and C criteria. I'm not going to turn away anybody else, but they fit the criteria to go over to my showing agent. And it worked out wonderfully.
Yeah. Yeah. And today you've got tons of past clients and tons of referrals from past clients and, you know, business coming in from everywhere because you're okay with taking a little bit of a financial step back on that one transaction, knowing that it would lead to substantially more later.
Correct.
Yeah. So one of the things I do want to ask you about, JoLynn, before we get into this idea of getting offers accepted today when listings are very scarce, you do a really good job of not just obtaining clients, but retaining clients. And I think a lot of our viewers and listeners are struggling with, you know, how are you able to retain the clients? You know, because you know the stats, you know, most buyers use 5, 6, 7, 8 agents before they select their agent, right? Mm-hmm. They're in conversation with agents all the time. Why do they choose you in your mind? Or what do you do differently to get them to choose you? And more importantly, how do you retain them at a time when listings are so scarce in most markets across the country?
Sure. So I would say that the most important part for my business personally is my buyer consultation. So that's a pretty stringent pre-qualification process for me, simply because people don't want to do it, right? Yeah. You have the Zillow leads, the realtor.com leads that come in, and it's just, I just want to see this house.
Yeah.
Well, and that's great, but this house is brand new to the market. This house hit showings backed up all day. Are you prepared if you love this home? Do you have all of your ducks in a row?
Yeah.
Write an offer.
That's right.
And a lot of times you can't always get them to agree to that buyer consult right off the bat. Mm-hmm. But when you show up to that house to show them and there's a line of cars outside and they all of a sudden love this home more just because there are a ton of other people looking at it.
Yeah.
Then your most serious buyers are ready to sit down and talk about what they need to do to get the job done.
Right.
And if they're really not willing to meet, you know, my proposition is if we can spend 20 minutes and I can inform you of the market, give you tools to make this a more efficient and less frustrating process for you.
Yep.
Is that worth 20 minutes of your time?
Yeah. And the reality is you get a lot of people to say yes. One thing that I've always been impressed, and I've always told our new agents when, you know, they're meeting with me early on and asking, okay, you know, who do I go to for certain things? Or if I want to be a great buyer's agent, who should I follow? And I always use you as an example, because I think in the last decade, I've never seen another agent in this conference room that I'm sitting in today. Of course, it's been remodeled since then. I've never seen another agent with more buyers than you. And I always, you know me, I'm always in and out. So, and I'm a crazy observant person. I'm always observing things, and I'm always seeing you in here with different buyers all the time. And so why do you think you're able to get them to commit to meet with you when most agents struggle with that? Most agents just go for the appointment, you know, do whatever you can just to get in front of them. And you actually say, no, we've got to go through this process before we can go see homes. Why do you think you're able to get them to meet with you when others can't?
So typically I'm asking the question because if we're being honest, no buyer that has just reached out to you to start this process is just starting this process. They've been sitting online. They've been looking at homes for months. They've been toying with the idea. And then usually what gets them is they see one property that they say, oh my God, I would live here.
Yeah.
And that's what gets them, you know, moving.
Yep.
So it, you know, when I ask, have you seen a lot of these homes that you've been interested flying off the market quickly? Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? And when every answer is a yes,
yep.
And it just leads up to, so do you feel that it would be beneficial for you to get a better idea of exactly what's happening in the market and how we can produce a stronger offer right from the get-go? Rather than lose, and then you're going to get mad at me, and then we're not going to work together. And I give them that example.
Right.
You're going to blame this on me because I didn't do my job to inform you.
Yes. And you say that to them up front.
Right off the bat.
You have no problem saying that.
No.
Yeah. So, all right. The next question I have, and then we're going to jump into the things we're doing to get offers accepted, is when listings are scarce, you've heard for years, we've talked about how as time goes on, the confidence buyers have in you declines, regardless of how good you are, whether you're making mistakes or not, whether they're making mistakes or not with their offers. We've heard as time goes on, and we've experienced it firsthand, their confidence in you diminishes. So how are you able to retain buyers over the course of 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks when they're not getting their offers accepted or they're not finding what they like? How do you keep them excited and engaged to work with you?
Yeah. And this is something that obviously the past couple of years we've really seen intensify with the lack of inventory, but we've really put together something that we call a revisited buyer consultation. Mm-hmm. So even just this summer through COVID, we've seen probably 2 to 3 different markets.
Yep.
In just how few of, you know, listings we have, how emotional buyers were, how much they were willing to tolerate. And now we're kind of seeing, at least I personally am, that different side of it.
Yeah.
Where, well, just because there isn't any inventory doesn't mean I need to take on $50,000 worth of issues.
Right.
So when my buyers start saying things such as, you know, wow, this market's hard or this or that, that's when I find it's the right time to say, hey, we need to sit back down. We need to regroup. Because we've seen A, B, and C happen. Now, D, E, and F is occurring. So let's sit down and re-strategize. And where can we pull, you know, extra cash from? Or where can we get this? Or where can we get that in order to make your offers even stronger?
Yeah.
Because sometimes buyers, you know, when we go over things on our buying power checklist, they're like, well, I've got four of those, you know, that I can make happen. And then we find that that's not enough.
No.
So now we need to talk again and see where we can redirect our efforts and our focus to make those offers stronger.
So you do a revisit buyer consult. Can you share a little bit about how, not necessarily, you don't need to go through the whole script, you know, that's a whole other webinar, but can you talk about how you get them to re-engage in that type of a conversation?
Sure. So it's typically once, you know, we've been at, say, the, I don't know, 10th home that we've seen.
Yeah. And which, by the way, it's usually about 10 to 12 where you they're kind of going over that peak and starting to head down in terms of confidence in you.
Yep. And, you know, at that point, that's what I propositioned them with. Hey, guys, it seems that our normal strategy that we were using that was tailored to the market that we were in 2 months ago now is not the same strategy that's obviously going to get us a win.
Yeah.
So let's put our heads back together and see, you know, where we can make improvements.
Yep.
And of course, you're going to have those clients that maybe don't have the best rapport with you or that haven't trusted you the entire way.
Yep.
Let me be very clear. That is my biggest motivation for a buyer consultation. I want to sit down. I'm going to be 100% transparent with you. If you tell me that this is what you can do to make something happen, and I know it's not enough, I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say these are not, you know, these are all great things, but it's not working for us. So it's not enough. What can we do to be better? Or do we wait 6 months?
Yeah.
Do you save more money so that you are now able to be more competitive?
Yep.
And that there's nothing wrong with that.
And you've given that advice plenty of times.
Plenty of time, especially in this post-COVID or COVID market, you know, yeah, when we came out of it, because there was one day, and I will never forget this day, a new listing popped up. I had three of my buyers within minutes all reach out and ask me to show them that home that day. I showed the same home to three of my own clients.
Wow.
And that's a problem, right? Yeah. That conflict of interest. I can't advise multiple clients as to how to best put their offers together, because here we are. So
Got it. So Jolynn, let's jump into some things that we're doing to get our offers stand out. I think one of the things that is probably unique about what we do and what we teach agents is to put together a buying power checklist. And we're going to go through ours. And in fact, everyone that has attended this webinar, and of course, Jolynn, this will be, you know, shared on Facebook and it'll be shared on the podcast. So we're going to have some people that are listening to this later versus people who are listening to it live. But we plan on sending out the buying power checklist, or we are sending out the buying power checklist to everyone who registered for the webinar. So that group is going to get it first. So thank you for registering for the webinar. You're going to get a copy of the buying power checklist. But what I would encourage you to do, actually, after you get a copy of our buying power checklist, I would actually encourage you to put together your own buying power checklist. And one of the fastest ways to do that, and the reason for that is because every market is a little different, right? In some markets, the inventory levels are just a little bit less than they were this time last year. In some markets, they're down 50, 60%, right? Like our market, it's down 40, 50% year over year. So what I encourage you to do is pretty much everyone who's watching or listening to this has a Facebook group that they belong to, right? Whether it be their broker Facebook group or their team Facebook group. And what I encourage you to do is start a thread. And it's actually kind of fun. And you could do this in a sales meeting, but now that everyone's doing everything virtually, this is an easy way to do it virtually. Start a thread and ask this question. Jolynn, you've heard me use this before. What is, and we did this at JGA, and this is how we actually came up with a lot of the stuff in our buying power checklist. This is the question you ask. What is the craziest thing you've seen in an offer to get it accepted? What is the craziest thing you've seen in an offer to get it accepted? And for those of you that are watching, listening, write that down. What is the craziest thing you've seen in an offer to get it accepted? Now, what's really cool with this game is It doesn't matter whether you're more of a buyer's agent or more of a listing agent. If you're on the listing agent side, you've seen some pretty crazy things. If you're on the buyer agent side, you maybe have written in some pretty crazy things, right? So what is the craziest thing that you've seen in an offer to get it accepted? And ask the question, you know, put a question mark after it. And if you're on a team or you're in a brokerage or whatever, maybe in a Facebook group, maybe you're in the Glover U Inner Circle, wherever you post that, take note of what people are saying, because you're going to come up with things, especially if you're doing it in your market, in your brokerage Facebook group, or if you're a team Facebook group, you're going to see things that are working in your own market. So we've got some things that we're going to share that are working in our market. Some of them are very basic, which, you know, for a lot of the people that are watching or listening, you're like, oh yeah, I do that. Oh yeah, I do that. You know, a lot of these, you're going to say, oh yeah, I do that. But here's the deal. All you need is one that you say, ah, never thought of that. Ah, never thought of that. All right, I could maybe do that. I could see how that could work, right? So when we get into these and we share these with you, most of these you're probably already doing, and that's cool, right? I know a lot of times people sign up for webinars, and I think, I don't know, the final count, we had close to 1,000, I think, end up signing up for this. A lot of times people end up signing up for webinars. I got to get the secret tool. I got to get the secret pill. I got to get that magic wand, and they want everything to be secret, 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 secrets. You know, sharing of secrets. And the reality is that a lot of the stuff you might already be doing. So when you hear things on here that you're already doing, don't instantly think, yep, done, been there, done that. Yep, been there, done that. Listen for the one that maybe you're not doing. And I would encourage you, outside of us going through this, get with your office, get with your brokerage, get with your team, and come up with your own buying power checklist aside from those that we're going to share with you. So let's go ahead and jump in, shall we, JoLynn?
Yep.
So we go through a buying power checklist at the offer consultation, or we do it before that?
So I like to get that conversation started at the buyer consultation, because we don't want to be last minute like, oh, wait, can I find extra cash? Can I do this? Can I move this around? We don't want that to happen last minute. So that's putting these ideas in their head to start is definitely a better route to take.
All right. So key point there. You do the buying power checklist, which, again, for those of you that are joining us on the webinar, you're going to get a copy of ours. Thank you for doing that. If you're not joining us on the webinar, you can email us at info@gloveru.com and maybe we can get it to you later. But what JoLynn just said there is, do not go over the buying power checklist at the time of offer, right? At that point, their mind is already set on what they're going to offer. They have an idea. They've had conversations behind the scenes. They've consulted with their parents, or they've consulted with their friends who just bought, and they're coming up with their own ideas, only to find out, as you know, we've been in this situation so many times, that there's no chance their offer is going to get accepted doing the things that they think it's going to take to get it accepted. So we found, and I know JoLynn is big on this, when you go over the buying power checklist at the time of the buyer consultation, you're more likely to get them to take your advice later when it comes time to write the offer. Do you agree with that, JoLynn?
Agreed. And I think something very important to note here as well is, you know, when you ask people, are you familiar with what's happening in this market? Do you understand how competitive things are right now? Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, yeah. You know, I've had a few friends buy a house, you know, whatever. I've heard it's a little rough out there.
Yeah.
When you start going over these points, the wheels really start turning.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. So you mean I might have to do this, and this. Oh, I wasn't really expecting that. So I think it helps to give that clear picture of your market at that point in time, so that it really isn't a surprise.
That's right. All right, let's jump in. Why don't you start us off? When you're sitting down, you're in a buyer consultation, you're saying, okay, these are the things you need to do to get your offer accepted. Just kind of tell us how that script goes.
So, you know, that would be setting it up. So as we've talked about before, you know that this market is incredibly competitive right now. And every home that we write an offer on will be, you know, we'll find ourselves offering different things. What's going to be more attractive to a seller? Every offer will be situational. So let's go over some options that we can use, you know, in any offer. And we may find that four of these work great for this specific seller, and, you know, because they're living in the home and they care about this home. Or we look at the other side, well, this is an investor property, and what are they worried about? Their bottom line. Yep. So some of the warm and fuzzies, some of the stronger offers, and that allows us to kind of put a list together and have an idea ahead of time, like you said, because they always think about what they want to do before I've done my offer consultation.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah.
Perfect. So let's jump into the list. So what are some things that we can do to make our offer stand out today, Jolynn?
So I think probably one of the biggest ones other than, you know, money is occupancy. Mm-hmm. How many people in this market do we know that don't have the means necessarily to go buy that next home mm-hmm. until they've sold this?
Yeah.
So that 30 days of free occupancy is probably better for them than an extra $5,000, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
finding a short-term, and then having to find short-term living or having to go move in with a friend or getting a storage unit and leaving things there until who knows when.
That's right.
So a situational matter would be, okay, we've got someone that's asking for occupancy. Mm-hmm. So this is where, you know, if we can offer them free occupancy, we don't necessarily have to pad our offer price up higher and higher.
Yeah. So free occupancy, so they can stay in the home after closing at no charge. So that way the seller doesn't feel stressed and rushed to get to their next place.
Absolutely.
And do you ever offer more than 30 days?
Yeah. I mean, it dependent on the buyer's situation. Say they're living in a property that they're planning to keep as a rental, or they're living at home with mom and dad, or they've got an apartment that doesn't have their lease doesn't run out and for 3 more months. Then it's just kind of a win-win for everybody all around.
Yep. Got it. Yeah. I've seen as much as 90 or even 120 days in the home after closing. It's a bit of an inconvenience for the buyer because they don't get to move into their house until, at this point, like March or April. But it secures them the house. And that is sometimes the drastic measure that's necessary in order to get the place.
Absolutely. And when our buyers don't have a lot of liquid cash laying around, this is a really good way to put a better foot forward without them saying, here's an extra $3,000.
Yeah, that's a good point, right? Because at our average sales price, which is mid 200s, 3 months of occupancy, let's say, is really just about a $6,000 expense. Versus paying $20,000 over appraisal or $15,000 over appraisal, right?
Absolutely.
Got it. Awesome. Love that. And before we jump into the rest of these, I do have a question because, we titled this Making Your Offer Stand Out. Is there anything unique that you do when you are submitting the offer to the listing agent? What does that process look like? And then we'll jump back into this list. I'm sorry. I should have asked you that first.
No worries. So when
I'm seeing the title behind, Making Your Offer Stand Out. I'm like, all right, well, these are definitely things that you do to make it stand out. But actually, how do you catch the attention of the listing agent?
Yep. So when I'm formatting, my email with the offer in it, I always just say, here, an offer is attached for your listing at this address. Please confirm receipt. And here's a brief overview. And that all gets bolded. And that's pulling out only the important information. So our purchase price, our type of loan, our earnest money deposit amount.
Yeah.
And then really any, if we've shortened the inspection period, we want to point that out. Yeah. If we're offering an appraisal guarantee, we want to point that out. If we're offering free occupancy, we want to point that out. So this is the time to showcase actually where you've gone above and beyond with your offer.
Yeah.
I always copy my lender on the email.
Shout out to the lender. Yep.
My lender's always working with me, who I may, as if I may note, he 90% of the time, if he's available, comes to my buyer consultations with me.
Ah.
So we're able to start this process out as a team.
Yep.
And I use that phrase a lot when I'm sitting down with a new buyer, my lender, and myself. We are a team.
Which, by the way, that reminds me, until our showing agents got super busy and super slammed, that is the recommended model. We had a lot of success early on, just like you said, with having the lender present, having the showing agent present during the buyer consultation, if you're going to use that model. Now, obviously showing agents are out on the road and constantly showing homes, so we can't always catch them, but trust me, when I've got a good one, when I got a situation where it's high price point, super competitive, I know they're interviewing agents, right? When I've got a good one, I call our showing agent and say, hey, you need to meet me for this one. And they're all important. But the reality is that it definitely makes that experience a little better and causes that retention level to go up when that happens first.
Correct. Because when you think about if you were a buyer and, you spoke with your agent and you have something set up to see this house and, my showing agent or showing assistant is going to be meeting you there.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're looking for. What kind of car are they driving? What do they look like in the face? You know, it's a different level of anxiety when you're doing that, which we don't want to necessarily put on to our buyers.
That's right. Yeah. So sorry, I cut you off. So you CC the lender. And of course, you mentioned the lender is present at the buyer consultation. Yep. What else takes place as you're presenting the offer to the listing agent?
So then that's followed up with a phone call or a text. I always try to call. If they don't answer, instead of leaving a voicemail, because we all hate voicemails, what's that saying? If you can write it in a text, don't call me. Yep. So I'll shoot a text over to the agent, and it's never pushy. It's just, hey, this is JoLynn with Keller Williams. I just wanted to let you know I sent over an offer a few minutes ago. If you could confirm receipt when you have a moment, that would be great. Look forward to talking with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that way it's not overbearing. I need to hear from you right now. And we want to get along very well with our co-op agents.
Yep. And so what is your... You know, do most of them respond to you? Do most of them pick up the phone and call you? What does that exchange look like?
90% respond to the text. Yeah. They really don't necessarily want to call back. If we've got some things in the offer to discuss, you know, once they talk with their seller, they'll typically get back with me, you know, via phone call. But just very easy, very laid back. Hey, we've got an offer in here. We're willing to do what we have to do to get this done. I look forward to speaking with you.
That's right.
And back in the day, it used to be the phone call. Hey, I just sent you the offer. It's got this, and this. And they're like, I'm busy. Gotta go.
Yeah.
So I personally feel that that has worked for me really well in keeping a nice relationship with the other side.
Well, one thing I know you've done for a while, and it's something that we've encouraged agents to do as well, is when you know you're going to be writing an offer on the house, right? As soon as you leave the showing or while you're at the showing, text, call, and email the listing agent with one question.
What does the seller need?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Besides price, what's the most important thing to a seller? Right? Write that down. Besides price, what's the most important thing to your seller? What is their most important need? And you'll find out a lot. I mean, some agents will say, well, we're only going to accept an offer that's paying over appraisal. All right. Oh, that's kind of a bummer, but I'm going to have to somehow communicate that with my buyers and educate them on that. Or they might say, and this is, you know, I use this example a lot because this happens from time to time. Well, honestly, Jeff, they were planning on staying with in-laws because they're having a house built. It's not going to be ready until May. I didn't think that anybody would be willing to do this, but if there's any chance your buyers would let them live in the house until their home is built, you know, May is a little extreme, but if they'll let them live in the house until their home is built, pretty much we're going to accept your offer, right? So that's just one little tidbit that I got by asking that one question, right? Or you might be working with kind of an old school agent. There's nothing wrong with this, but I have a lot of old school agents that say, well, you know, my clients are going to be looking for a high EMD. None of this 1% EMD stuff, you know. It's got to be a 3% EMD minimum or whatever, right? So a lot of times when you ask a question, besides price, what is the most important thing to your seller in an offer they choose? You're going to get the agent's response of what's important to them, right? You're going to get yes, they're looking out in the best interest of their client by giving that response, whatever it might be. But you might hear some language in there of what's actually important to the listing agent, right? The listing agent might say, well, JoLynn, my seller doesn't want to deal with escalation clauses, so let's just put your best foot forward. Mm-hmm. They might not even have gotten that okay with their seller, which, by the way, doesn't make it wrong or bad, but that might just be their personal opinion towards escalation clauses. And now you just got a little bit of ammo that puts you in a little bit of an advantage because now you know, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, we can't do an escalation clause with this one, which is very popular, you know, escalation clauses around the country.
Sure. And then having that first conversation with that agent to find that out is huge because you're building the relationship right there.
Yep.
And a lot of people, especially in multiple offer situations, are simply just, you know, writing offers, sending them in, and then just waiting to hear back. So if you've taken that step, to build that relationship with the agent, they are now going to say, this agent is receptive. This agent is working with me, not just with their client. And it's going to make for a much more desirable, in my opinion, transaction throughout the entire process.
Yep. Awesome. All right, let's jump back into this list. So I'll take the next one. So in your opinion, and I'll share mine, conducting your appraisal right up front with the inspection. So actually putting into the offer that the inspection and appraisal to be completed within 7 days or within 5 days or whatever it is. Now, granted, you are at the liberty of your lender and the appraisal management company, whoever they use. So you'd have to make sure your lender, whoever you're using, is on board with this. But if I'm a listing agent and you put in there that you're going to conduct the appraisal right away and you're going to conduct the inspection right away, or they're going to be done simultaneously, that really tells me two things. Number one, it shows me your level of commitment to the house, because not only are you willing to take on a $350 or $400 home inspection fee, but you're also committing another $400 for an appraisal, or a total of $800 to this purchase. And I'm going to share that with my seller, that actually means you're probably a little more committed to the house if you're willing to throw away $800 versus $400, right? Because when they're done simultaneously, you got to swipe the credit card for the appraisal, swipe the credit card for the inspection. Jolynn, in your experience, conducting your appraisal before inspection, what has that looked like? Or have you done some of that? Or have you seen that on listings of yours? Or what comes to mind when I share that one?
Absolutely. So that's a good one. When we walk through a home that we know is solid, that we're not really expecting many, issues to pop up, and where we probably won't necessarily be renegotiating price with the seller.
Yeah.
That's really the time to do that, because that locks in the end of the process besides your final underwriting, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the sooner we get that done, then that seller knows, okay, we're going to have this money, but we can move on to making our purchase. And it really, it expedites the entire process. And like you said, the commitment there, it's rare that you're going to get people that say, yeah, I want to have my appraisal done first.
Yep.
So when they do, they want that house.
Well, not only that, but also if I'm a listing agent, I'm going to know within 7 days whether this thing is moving forward in the right direction or not. I'm not going to have to wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks on that appraisal. And so if you have a buyer that maybe can't afford to pay more than $5,000 or $7,000 over appraised value, and everyone else paying $10,000 or $15,000, but you are saying, hey, but we'll get it done in the first 7 days, you might have a seller that says, you know what, they're only willing to pay $5,000 and this guy over here is willing to pay $10,000, but who knows, that could be a month before we find out on this one. And this one, we're going to find out in the next 7 days. I'm going to take a gamble with that, right? It could actually cause your offer to get accepted over someone that might be paying more over appraisal, because you shorten that time frame. You got that commitment done right away.
And that's something that's most important to the sellers in that specific situation. So that takes us right back as to why it's so important to put that phone call in to the agent to find out what is at the top of the seller's list.
Bingo. All right, Jolynn, take it away. Next one, in your mind, what are you using? And I'm bouncing around on this list. And obviously, for the sake of time, Jolynn, we're not going to get to all of them. But as we mentioned, we're going to send it out to those that are on. Let's just pick on the ones that are your favorites or that you think have been pretty impactful to you this year specifically.
Sure. So providing more money down on your loan. As much as people may not think that that's a big deal, what it actually shows the sellers is not only, that you're putting down a nice down payment, but if we run into appraisal issues, if we run into, money issues anywhere, we have the money.
Yes.
So we don't have to put down this big of a down payment, and we can funnel $5,000 of that over for an appraisal guarantee at that point.
Yeah.
So it shows the liquidity and the buying power of the buyer, I think, a little better.
Yeah.
With that transparency.
What comes to mind is if you have a buyer that says to you, well, we were planning on putting 20% down, but we can put 30 if you want. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Let's write it up at 30 because number one, everyone else is going to be at 20. All right. Unless there's a cash offer. And number two, that extra 10% shows that we've got more liquidity in case an appraisal issue comes up.
Sure. It can work the other way too on a listing side. When you see you've got the conventional loan, but it's only at 3%, and then the buyers need a little help to get to the closing table. That tells them that this isn't the strongest buyer. So showing your money card ahead of time, unfortunately, for the buyer is really important to the sellers.
Hey, if they want to secure a home, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
I've seen this in offers that we have written to get offers accepted. And for those that are watching this for the first time, yes, I still do between 20 and 25 buyer transactions a year myself. And obviously as a listing agent, I see on the other end as well what's coming in our offers. But thinking outside the box, paying things like the seller's costs. We're seeing a lot of that this year, and it is working, right? Paying the sellers. Some states have transfer taxes. Some states call them revenue stamps. Some states call them county taxes. Paying the seller's taxes or any sort of seller's costs, maybe not the commission or maybe the commission, but at a minimum, paying everything but, you know, the seller's title insurance policy, the seller's closing fees, paying that on behalf of the seller, you know, if you add it up, maybe it's only a few thousand bucks. But again, it kind of goes back to the example of that free occupancy may only be a few thousand bucks, but it's something that causes it to stand out, and it's something that may cause it to get accepted. What has your experience been with those?
Yes, and those have become very important as we've been dealing with more and more of these appraisal guarantees because they're outlandish. I mean, some of these unlimited appraisal guarantees, look, you can only buffer your price up so high.
Yeah.
Before you're paying way too much out of pocket. And this is a conversation that I have with my buyers a lot when it comes to appraisal guarantees. Are you comfortable with potentially starting your home ownership journey underwater?
The answer in most cases, probably no.
Right. So why would we give someone $20,000 over when we could maybe give them five and then pick up another four to five in costs?
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can still make the home improvement projects that you want. And there are still a lot of agents running around out there just saying price. The only thing that matters. Let's write this as high as we can. Let's give them a big old appraisal guarantee.
Yeah.
And to me, as a listing agent, that's not attractive to me.
Yeah.
There's far too much risk. And especially when we can look at comps and say, there's no way we're going to get 380 for this home that was listed at 325.
Yeah.
There's no way. So coming up with those creative ways. I mean, I even had buyers this summer. We were in a multiple offer situation, in love with this home. They paid the lawn contract for the summer.
Yeah.
Because.
Hey, that's out of the box.
Yeah.
So share with us another. We'll get to one or two more. Share with us, as you look at the list, Jolynn, another one that you deploy quite often that you've had some recent success with.
So a lot more buyers are coming out of the woodwork using FHA loans right now, just because affordability is so there. With rates this low, everyone is going to be wanting, you know, to purchase if they're able to. So taking on the FHA repair costs is huge. The only thing that scares sellers typically about accepting an FHA loan is the appraisal.
Yeah.
And what could come back as a responsibility of that, along with the longer time that it takes for an FHA loan to close. Yeah. But if they need to find another home, they're cool with 40 to 45 days because that takes a little rush off of them.
Yeah.
But if they came back and there were $1,000 in FHA repairs, they could just move on to a conventional loan. So I know a lot of you agents are submitting FHA offers. Take on those repairs because that almost puts you right at the same level with a conventional loan. The only difference is your closing time frame.
Yeah. And that, I love that one. And it reminds me of another one. So I'll get to my next one here. And that is when you are willing to take on things like repairs, when you're saying you're going to put X amount down, when you're saying you're going to pay X amount over appraisal, having some sort of proof that you have money in the bank to cover that is huge, right? So don't just tell me you're going to pay $20,000 over appraisal. Tell me you're going to pay $20,000 over appraisal and show me a letter from your bank or a bank statement or something showing, okay, good. All right, this is a $200,000 house. So 20% down is 40 plus costs. Let's just say that's 50. And now they're saying they're going to pay $10,000 over appraisal. I want to see a bank statement. I want to see a letter. I want to see something that says you got $60,000, $70,000 liquid because I can do some quick math. I can figure out where 20% works out to, and I can figure out approximately what your costs are going to be and what you're going to put down. Don't just tell me you're going to put a certain amount down, 30% down, 50% down, or pay a certain amount over appraisal or pay for FHA repairs, especially for an FHA buyer. I want proof that you can afford those repairs because I'm already maybe thinking that your funds are limited because you're going FHA. So I want a warm and fuzzy that you can cover at least your down payment and your costs and maybe some money for repairs.
Absolutely.
Awesome. What else? Share with us one more, Jolynn, that you think is working really well for you right now and that's helping you obtain still, you know, between 35 and 45 buyer transactions accepted every single year, including this year.
So something that we've been exercising recently in this crazy COVID market, which honestly, I will be very honest. It's not one of my favorites because it's very risky, but a non-refundable earnest money deposit. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, if you're putting $2,500 on the table saying that if there's any reason you walk away from this, they get that money, you're committed.
Yep.
You're very, very committed. So
you're again, telling the listing agent that we're moving forward no matter what, because otherwise they're out that EMD.
Yep.
That's what it says.
And we have to tread a little, you know, lightly. This is not something to just throw out with every offer. This is a home that you've walked through where situationally it looks like it's in good shape. It doesn't look like it's going to need thousands of dollars, of repair. You're going to have to renegotiate with the sellers because that's not going to happen, right?
Right. Love that.
So.
I mean, I hate it, but I love it. Yeah. I hate it because it's risky, but I love it because not many people are willing to do it.
Correct.
Now, of course, and I know you have the conversation with your clients of, all right, let's be realistic here. You know, there's obviously something that could come up in the home inspection. There's obviously some, we could have an appraisal issue. So you're making sure they know the risk involved in that before they commit to that.
Yes. Every time, because that is one thing. If you are not transparent with a lot of these, features that we're doing, you will lose your client.
Yeah.
They feel that they haven't been, treated right. You haven't been honest with them. And, they feel like someone's trying to pull something over on them. Yeah. So
classic. And I bet you don't hear this very often. The classic, who do you work for, JoLynn? Right. Do you work for the listing agent or do you work for me? Right.
Absolutely.
By the way, and I'm sure it happens, right? And I've got one more that I'm going to share. And then I know you've got something exciting you're going to share with us. But how do you handle that when they say that? Who do you work for? Who do you work for, me or the listing agent? How do you handle that? Because obviously that means, and I'm sure it doesn't happen often with you, but that means they're sensing, or at least, by the way, I know your intention is good. Mm-hmm. I know your intention is to make sure they get their offer accepted. But in doing so, they may feel like, you're working for the other guy. So how do you handle that when they say that?
Sure. So one thing that I have found to work really well for me in even getting to this point is I like to do most of my communication with a listing agent via text or email. Mm-hmm. I want it in writing because I take a nice little screenshot that says, hey, Mr. Listing Agent, I'm going to be submitting an offer, and what's going to be most important to your sellers?
Yep.
Then I have that. Then I show that to my buyers.
Yes.
And it takes away. And I learned that because without having that before, well, why are we giving them all this extra money? Why are we giving them all the leeway? Why are we going to let them stay there? What, they do feel like you're not working for them.
Such an important conversation.
It is. And the only thing that I've found that truly makes it a win-win for all parties is when I'm getting it from the horse's mouth and I'm showing it right to the clients.
Yep.
It's very hard to convince them that this is something that was relayed to you and not just, let's just get this deal done so we can move on to the next buyer.
Yep. Awesome. And thank you for that, JoLynn. And I'm going to share one more. And for those that are wondering, how long is this webinar going to be? We had it slated for an hour. We both get talking, we're both kind of high eyes here. So we're just sharing things as they come up. So we hope you appreciate the information if we go a little long. One thing that I have found has worked, especially if it's on a listing that you see that's back on market, right? So depending on what your MLS uses of the code, in our MLS, it's BMK. If you know homes back on the market, meaning it was pending, something fell through, or maybe the listing agent gave you some information, I love this one. And it's worked very well for us. And JoLynn, you may have used it. A daily penalty for not closing on time. A daily penalty for not closing on time. So in the offer, we say, okay, we're going to close in 30 days or 40 days or whatever it is. And oh, by the way, now all of the normal contingencies are still there, or maybe they're not, depending on your competitive situation. Maybe you are waiving the appraisal, or maybe you are, giving free occupancy. So this could be in addition to, but regardless, this will help your offer stand out if you say, okay, it's December the 1st, let's just say, and we're going to close on or before the end of the year, December 31. And by the way, for every day after December 31, we're going to pay $50 to the seller or $100 to the seller for every day it doesn't close after December 31. And so now there's some skin on the bone, if you will, to this whole concept of meeting a closing deadline, which, as most closing deadlines for whatever reason, don't get met. And if a listing agent is concerned or a seller is concerned because they just had a deal and we had our home off the market for 60 days messing around with these fools and they wanted this done and they wanted that done, I come in here with an offer that says, hey, not only will I close by the end of the year, but I'm going to pay you $50 a day for every day it doesn't close by December 31st. That will cause your offer to stand out and give you a better chance of getting it accepted. Have you seen that, JoLynn, or have you done that in offers?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think the bigger part of that conversation is that domino effect, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're paying, you know, to meet a closing date, those sellers very well may have put an offer in on another home.
Yep.
So now if we're not meeting our date, they're not meeting their date, potentially that seller isn't meeting their date. And we've disrupted, what, 8 families throughout this process?
Yeah.
That's not okay. That's not how we like to do business. And that's not how we get business to come back to us. So
no. So if you joined us a little late, JoLynn and I are kind of working through what's called our buying power checklist for everyone who has joined us. You're going to get a copy of that. If you watch it later, you're going to have to email us for it. JoLynn, we've been talking and we've been working the last few years on, okay, we're really good at teaching people how to be great listing agents. And by the way, you're a good listing agent. I know you still take listings every single month. But one thing that you're really known for, you have mastered the buyer process, right? From the lead generation, where leads actually come from, to the lead follow-up, right? To the buyer consultation, to the offer consultation, to the getting the offer accepted, what we're talking about today, to getting the deal to a closing table, and probably one of your greatest strengths, getting repeat referral business. So we sat down with JoLynn and said, all right, we've got to document everything JoLynn's doing because she's doing it at a high level and she's not like working 90 hours a week. I mean, she's working her tail off. She's working hard, but she also has a life outside of real estate. So we sat down and documented every single thing JoLynn does to have the success that she's been having in the last decade with buyer sales, particularly, right? Our top buyer's agent year after year. Not only that, but top buyer's agent in self-generated business, not just converting company-generated leads, right? So JoLynn, we've got a program that we haven't officially announced really until now, and this is the first time we're really announcing it publicly. And for those of you, I know we're coming up on the noon hour. If you have to take off for any reason, I'm going to give you the information how to reach out to us. But regardless, JoLynn, we're going to go through it just like we would, like we planned on. For those that have been with us and want more information about this program that JoLynn leads, which we're going to talk about, you can text buyer, that's B-U-Y-E-R, to 55444. So if you're writing this down, just as if you were texting a friend or a family member, open up your text. You're going to text 55444. That's the phone number. It's only 5 digits. I don't know how it works, but it does. And in the body of your text message, you're going to just type in buyer. Very simple. B-U-Y-E-R. And we will send you the information on what JoLynn is getting ready to share. Again, that phone number is 55444. Text the word buyer. So JoLynn, we packaged everything up. And this program is not like a 6 or 12 month program like some of our other ones. You actually condensed it into, well, I'll let you take it away. So JoLynn, Why don't you share with us? And I think behind the scenes, they're going to pull up the flyer on the screen so everyone can see it as well.
Very cool. Very cool. So yeah, I'm super excited about my new Buyer Mastery program. And you know, what's important really to me about giving this information or teaching people with a focus on buyers is simply that nobody's really doing that. The focus is always on listings. Listings run the market, this and that. And believe me, Jeff and I had our, we butted heads about that back in the beginning, but I enjoy the showing of homes. I enjoy seeing the excitement on these buyers' faces. I enjoy also knowing then that they're going to have to sell that house one day.
Yeah.
You know, because even as a listing agent, there's a very good chance that you're selling that home and they may be moving out of state. They may be going somewhere where you don't have the opportunity to necessarily work with them again.
Yep.
So I wanted to focus on buyers. I wanted to focus on kind of making our lives easier as agents, because as frustrating as this process is for a buyer, it's 10 times more frustrating for us as agents when we're giving them everything that they need to do on a silver platter. And they're still not doing it.
Right.
And what that tells us is that there is a disconnect, usually on our end. We haven't conveyed what we need to convey to them. We haven't shown our value. We haven't shown our importance.
Yep.
So there are a few things that you know, I don't want to say I was necessarily doing before everybody else in my office was, but I had a much heavier focus on sitting down with my buyers, on explaining these things to them, on making sure that they met the person that they would be working with on a lending side. And it creates the team atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Just like our work environment is a team atmosphere, it creates that team for our client, which means they're not afraid to reach out to my lender, to myself, to my showing agent, you know, to ask questions or get things handled for them.
Yep.
Because we have to remember that these team members actually can help us throughout this process.
Yep.
So what, you know, Kate and I have spent a lot of time doing, and you, Jeff, as well, is sitting down and kind of putting the process out from start to finish.
Yes.
So just like I do for my buyers, mm-hmm. I want to do that for myself so I know I'm not taking any missteps.
Yes.
You know, throughout the, we have a 16-week program, and throughout these weeks, you will literally learn how to answer the phone from an incoming lead
yep.
to post-closing customer service, right? So Kate and I have spent a lot of time putting together some newer scripts, updating them, making them market specific, doing these things that, you know, if you were using a script last year, is there probably a good chance it's not going to be valid? Yeah.
It's changed. Yeah. By the way, and I don't want to take away from what you're saying, but that is one of the biggest differences in working with us. You're working with people that are on the ground doing this every single day. So heck yeah, we've got to update these scripts annually.
Yes. And when I come back and say, hey, this isn't working for me now, I need to make a change in my process, I'm probably not the only person that needs to make that change in their process.
Yes.
So if I can share that knowledge, you know, that's obviously what we want to do here. So yeah, we start out with where the leads come from. We talk about their follow-up programs. You've got a fully different follow-up schedule from a realtor.com lead to an agent referral to a Sphere referral. That's
so wait, you treat those sources of business differently?
Correct.
Your follow-up program is different for all of those.
Absolutely. We've got warmer leads. We've got colder leads. And we discuss, you know, how we should be handling these and what the best, you know, what the best dialogue is to be having with these leads.
Yep.
And then we go into...
Which, by the way, means a different drip campaign for each as well.
Absolutely.
And in the program, you're sharing our drip campaigns for each source of business. So not only will people learn where our business comes from, learn where our leads come from, but they'll also get the drip campaign for each source.
Absolutely. And then once we're able to work on conversion with these scripts, now we're learning how to set the buyer consultation, right? Because even though some buyers may not want to do it, listen, a lot of agents don't want to do a buyer consultation. I have to sell you agents on why it's important to do this.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the amount of time that you will save, the frustration that you will save, the efforts that you don't necessarily have to do over and over and over again of explaining things, you can easily field all of that within a buyer consultation.
Yeah.
And one thing to note is, you know, we have a piece of material at the office with our entire buyer process in it. Okay. So I go through this buyer consultation and then I say, hey, look here at the bottom of this document, we've got your entire timeline.
Yep.
So if there's anything here that you've forgotten that we've discussed today, if you need a reference point to go back, because honestly, 90% of what we talk about here, you won't remember. But the point is to let you know that you have this many out-of-pocket costs throughout your process, that you can expect this, after that.
So everyone who's in the program is going to get the actual material that we use as well?
Absolutely. We want to make sure that, you know, everyone's armed with the best resources.
Yep.
And as we update them, they'll receive updated everything as well.
Yeah. So we're going to learn how to generate leads, how to follow up with them, how to put together a strong buyer consultation, how to prepare your presentation material. And obviously, we're going to give you examples of ours. And then what?
And then we're going to discuss the search process and how we set this up. And, you know, I'll share with you what I do personally that makes my life a lot easier, that buyers actually are far more, you know, they're okay with it. You know, when I provide feedback and I say, hey, I wouldn't do this or I would see this home, you'd be surprised how many actually listen to you because you spent the time to build the trust.
Yeah.
And now you're not wasting time. Then we find the house that we like, and then we're going to go over a full offer consultation so that you know how to present the facts to your buyers to make sure that they're writing their strongest offer possible.
You would probably argue today that the offer consultation is almost just as important today as that buyer consultation, right?
Absolutely.
And a lot of agents, you know, maybe put emphasis on the buyer consultation, but not a ton of emphasis. Sorry, I don't know why that keeps happening with my camera. Not a ton of emphasis on the offer consultation.
Yeah. And what's more important about the offer consultation is at that moment, getting that buy-in from your client. It's not even necessarily about this is the offer that will get accepted. Mm-hmm. It's more so, do you understand why we're writing this in? Do you understand how this makes your offer stronger? Mm-hmm. Because the goal is to not write a lot of offers, but then say that one doesn't work out. Yep. You move on to the next one. They've got their beautiful buying power checklist with them that they go back and reference. Yep. And then they say, this time I want to do this, this, and this. And you go, oh my gosh, they got it.
Yeah.
They got it. They listened. They understand. They're serious now. They're ready to make it happen.
Yeah.
So everything that we go over in this program is not only, I want to be very clear, it's not only to make it a better everything for your clients. It's to make your life easier, your job easier, make you more efficient and a more skilled and tooled agent to be out in the market.
Well, and again, this will probably be the third time I'm saying this, but those who sign up for this program, you're not just signing up to close more buyer deals and to do more buyer deals. You're signing up to learn how to close more buyer deals and do more buyer deals and also have a life. Because again, you're going to learn that from JoLynn, how she's mastered selling the volume that she's selling and also having a life outside of real estate. Yeah. Again, you can text us the word buyer, B-U-I-E-R, to 55444 to get more information on the program. No obligation. We'll just, someone will reach out to you with more information. You're also, JoLynn, going to go into, what the showing agent model looks like and how to implement the showing agent model into your business. I know that we have a lot of teams and lead agents who probably should put their buyer's agents through this program, right? Like you said in the beginning, there isn't this like, there's not really a program out there specifically for buyer's agents, right? And by the way, you're not a buyer's agent. You're what we call an OSA or a realtor, an outside sales associate. You work with both buyers and sellers. But if you really want to level up your buyer agent team, this is it. It's 4 months, right? It's technically, if you do the math on that, because we've reduced it $100, it's normally $499. We reduced it to $399 because COVID hasn't impacted so many this year. That's like $1,600. That's less than half of a commission check for most people to get our entire buyer program from the person that has mastered it.
Yep. And it, for you that aren't on teams, I mean, this is a great way to learn. You know, you can find a partner agent in the office, someone that's newer that needs experience, and, you can utilize them as a type of showing assistant. Yeah. So we talk about the different avenues that we can go down if you don't have all of the resources that we're fortunate enough to have at JGA and show you how to make it work in literally any market center, in any team, non-team, whatever your setting may be.
Yeah, I love that. So it's a small group setting too, right? Like maybe a dozen people or 15, 20. I mean, you're not on, it's not like this big, presentation. JoLynn interacts with you and you have ability to ask questions. She'll share something with you and reserve 10 to 15 minutes at the end for Q&A. It's via Zoom. So you're face to face once a week for 15 sessions in a row, 45 minutes. So it's not like you're signing up for this recorded program where you're on mute and you're just sitting back and watching. I mean, it's very interactive, isn't it, JoLynn? Yeah.
And I need that. I'm a high eye. I thrive with interaction, if you couldn't tell. But what more importantly about that is, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you agents from all over the country, and we're all in different markets and we're all experiencing different things.
Yeah.
And all of those situations are helpful to every single one of us, regardless of what we may think. Oh, that doesn't apply to me. It might in 5 years.
Yeah.
It may be a great idea that you haven't tapped into. I mean, there's something for everybody to learn here, with the end goal being to make the buying process more efficient for everyone involved.
Yep, got it. So, JoLynn, anything else we should know about the program that we didn't cover?
Oh, goodness. Probably my most favorite part that we'll be talking about in here, client events, client customer service focus, et cetera, and all of the things that I've done to be able to receive a lot of referrals.
Yeah.
You know,
the post-sale stuff. How do you get them coming back to you, which I know, you know, in knowing you as long as I have, Jolynn, that is like your number one source of business, repeat and referral. Yep. First time referral buyers in general. And of course, now after doing it for so long, it's leading to a lot of listing referrals or a lot of people who bought from you 5 years ago who are now selling, right?
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to be honest. I don't want to sit on the phones every day. I don't want to sit and call cold leads. That is not where I thrive. That is not where I feel fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, even in my prospecting, you know, after I moved off of the phones, it turned into being out, being with people, doing everything that we can't do right now in COVID. But we've got really good, really good ideas and things that we have transitioned into to get you in front of your clients still, because I know that's a struggle for every agent out there right now. And that should be the focus if you're looking for, you know, to build a relationship-based business full of repeat and referrals.
Awesome. So you're going to learn how to generate leads, convert them, get the consult taken care of, do the buyer consult and then the offer consult, get them through the showing process. You're going to cover how you stay engaged with them, how you keep them coming back to you, the showing agent model, your transaction management, getting it to the closing table and the follow-up afterwards. Sounds pretty complete to me. It's 4 months. It's 15 sessions. It's reduced from $499 down to $399. If you're interested, you don't have to sign up right this second, although it starts Monday, doesn't it?
Sure does. Monday at 1:00. Let's go.
The program starts Monday. So we've had it out there on our website, but this is the first time we're bringing it to life via this method. So it does start Monday. So you would need to make a decision before then. And if you made a decision next week, that's fine too. We record all sessions. Everyone who attends always gets a copy of the session and gets the workbook as well. If you're interested, you can go online to GloverU.com and check out our programs there. Or for the easiest way to do it, just text buyer, the word buyer, B-U-Y-E-R, to 55444. And other than that, I think we're all set, Jolynn.
I think so. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I hope to see you next week.
Yes, we're going to see many of you next week, and we'll see the rest of you some other time. Go out and have a great weekend. Remember, tomorrow is Small Business Saturday. If you want to get our newest planner that just came out, all right, these things sell like hotcakes. We're selling it at cost right now. That's the daily planner and the business plan, as well as all of our Live Unreal gear. That's GloverU.com/shop. They're all at cost, all right? And we'll see a lot of you in the program with Jolynn on Monday. Make it a great rest of the weekend, guys. See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking your time to join Jeff and Jolynn today on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast. To get started on having an unreal business, take the real estate self-assessment. After you complete the assessment, a member of Glover U will get on a call with you to create an action plan to improve your score. Go to www.gloveru.com/self. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. Search for Live Unreal with Glover U on iTunes, Podbean, or Spotify, and subscribe today. Until next time.